stripe.
Ah, it's time to become a resident. Are you interested in learning how to not only survive residency, but thrive as a resident? Well, we're jumping into part two of our episode with Dr. Xavier Williams. Welcome to the Black Med Connect podcast, affectionately known as the BMed podcast, where we share inspiring stories of Black physicians and physicians in training. We can't wait to hear from Dr. Xavier Williams about his experiences as an intern and how he has thrived and now is going on to be a chief resident in the UNC Chapel Hill Pediatric Residency Program for the upcoming year. Let's jump right into the episode. Roll the music. You made it to UNC. Tell me a bit about what your intern year was like and, you know, both in the hospital as a resident and what did you do to kind of stay balanced during your current residency time and as you transition here in a little bit?
Yeah. So coming from Florida to North Carolina wasn't too far of a trek. It was like, It was perfect for me because I can get home during the holidays. But what was interesting was all this happened in the midst of the pandemic. So I graduated in 2020 at the brink of COVID-19, and that was something. I mean, just trying to figure out where I was going to live and how to even navigate, you know, just meeting my co-residents and all these things. It was all very challenging because we had to socially distance, and there were a lot of things in place about not being able to be in person and doing everything virtual. So that made it hard. And then I get into intern year. And sadly, you know, the transition for me was a little bit tougher because my grandfather, who was ill earlier in my med school career, ended up passing away. And so, you know, there was a lot of excitement, but also a lot to kind of mourn and also be frustrated about. I didn't get a proper graduation. My family couldn't be there to kind of help me transition into this new role of becoming a resident doctor. But what I recognized was, again, I came to the right place because I felt like even though I might not have had like the classic intern experience as far as being around my co-residents, I had a lot of support and I had a lot of mentorship that really helped me kind of transition. Now, for those of you who might not know who are looking forward to what intern year residency is like, you know, sometimes they say med school is like you're trying to drink from a fire hydrant because it's just so much. In some ways, residency, especially intern year, can be the same. You're just trying to swim and it's a lot. But man, you know, it was interesting. You know, you walk into this role of I'm a med student. Nope. Now I'm the doctor, one of the doctors. And so there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. And there's a lot that is required of you. And I recognized pretty quickly that I was able to do a lot of the things that I didn't think I could. And what was interesting was I had this issue of imposter syndrome, right? So imposter syndrome meaning, oh, you know, even though I've worked this hard, I've become a doctor, I'm in residency at a great program, maybe it was a mistake, maybe it wasn't for me. And as I was going through intern year, I realized I was able to silence that imposter syndrome just a little bit more. It's still there, but I was able to silence a little more because I was able to show myself like I can actually doctor. I have a lot to learn as an intern. I still do now, but I was able to do a lot more than what I realized. And it was truly a blessing because I think it really helped me understand that there was a lot that I underestimated myself in. And going through intern year really challenged me and showed me my potential. And so through the challenges of intern year and trying to keep balance, which working out, eating healthy, it doesn't ever happen like perfectly, but I felt like through time I was able to kind of figure things out and I was able to make it through. So
that's awesome. And so for, you know, we're coming up on match day here. Do you have any advice for those students who are about to make that transition or make that rank list? Any thoughts there?
Man, it's an exciting time, y'all. I know it's easier for me to say that because, you know, I've gotten over that hump, but you know, the biggest thing I like to say is, you know, this is a hard time in some ways, because it's like you've done all your interviews, but now you're kind of like second, third guessing whether should I change my number one with my number three or my number seven with my number nine, all that stuff. But I really encourage you, take a moment and reflect on your journey. Introspection and reflection is going to have to be a very big part of your journey as a person and as a doctor, especially when you get into residency, because you have to remember and celebrate your wins, no matter how small, no matter how big. And getting to this place where you've interviewed, you're submitting a rank list, there are people who didn't get there. And so for you to get to this position is a big deal. And on top of that, also remember, you're not just ranking because you're hoping a program will pick you. Remember, you're also ranking because you deserve to choose a program. So as you go through, just remember your worth and remember that, like, you also have the privilege of ranking a program number one because you think that they are worthy enough. It's not just, oh, does the program think I'm worthy enough? No, you also think that program is worthy of your selection. So, so I say all that. And then lastly, you know, when you submit your list, try to submit your list and let it be. Don't try to go and change it too much, because you might make some, you know, regretful switches. So just kind of be one and done. Just make sure you submit it the day before it's due.
Yes, you don't want the wheel of doom stopping you from submitting. Absolutely. And if you don't mind, can you talk a bit about, you know, what you're doing to make sure you support medical students, specifically those interested in pediatrics, along their journey? And can you share more about your organization that you have now?
Yeah. So for me, again, mentorship is a big part of my journey. Long story short, I've had a mentor since I was in middle school. My first ever mentor was a Black male who served in the military, and he introduced me to what travel was. He went to Germany and bring me all these like really cool chocolates. He talked to me about college. He taught me how to do, a hook shot playing basketball, like just basic things, you know, exactly. Right. Kareem. But he taught me a lot of these basic things, but what I didn't realize was just his presence and his conversations with me was transforming who I was and helping kind of shift my mentality of what I thought was possible. And so mentorship has really been a significant part of my journey, especially being first generation, which I'm sure many of you all can relate. But that drive to mentor only got stronger as I went through this journey. And so here I am now, resident physician. I've made it, quote unquote, right? Now what do I do? And the motto that I live by is, when you take the elevator to the top, you got to send it back down. And so the way that I wanted to send this elevator back down so that somebody else, some of y'all can come up, was to create a program that was aimed at helping underrepresented fourth year med students apply into pediatrics. And so myself and four other residents and fellows at the time, in 2020, in the midst of this pandemic, decided, let's just host a Zoom call. Let's get together, host a Zoom call, put it online, and let's just talk about our journey of applying into pediatrics and give some tips. We sent that out as a generic Zoom link, and we had over 80 students from across the nation, including Puerto Rico, and we even had people from Mexico who came and who logged in on this call, and we just shared our stories. And after that conversation, we realized there was a need. There is a huge need for these underrepresented minorities to get the support that they need to apply into residency, but especially pediatrics. And so we went from having this one Zoom call to creating an entire organization, and we call it Next Gen Peds, meaning we want to help transform the next generation of pediatricians. And we want to make sure that this next generation of pediatrician reflects the communities that we serve, which is becoming increasingly diverse. So with all that, we essentially created a program where we have one-on-one virtual mentorship, where you have residents, fellows, and attendings from across the nation who are paired with you through an application process to guide you through this application process of ERAS and residency applications. And they also just give you real life advice. And then we have monthly virtual calls throughout the interview season that the purpose is to basically teach you how to apply, how to get your letters of rec, how to do a virtual interview. How do you deal with like communication with programs? And how do you write a personal statement? There's a variety of things. Pretty much if there's anything that you're doing during the application season, we talk about it and we provide you guidance. And so this program has flourished, and we are currently in our third year, and we've helped over 200 applicants successfully match into pediatric residency. Awesome. And what's even more important is we're seeing a diverse group of individuals who are passionate about caring about people who look like them enter the workforce. And so, you know, that's more than what we could have hoped for.
That's, I mean, that's fantastic. That's inspiring, because we do need it, right? We just need as much support and mentorship as we can get. And the fact that you all have taken the time to dedicate to making sure the next generation of upcoming pediatricians has that resource, despite you being very busy, I just want to make sure to shout you out, as well as your co-founders of your organization, because I know how much work it takes to make sure these initiatives go as planned and get the information out to the students who really need it. So, you know, thank you for your hard work with that, and continue to, you know, hopefully I can be a resource to you. Hopefully this podcast can be a resource to make sure to spread the word, because that's literally what it's all about, making sure we inspire the next generation. So with that being said, what's next for you in medicine, and what do you hope to get out of being an upcoming chief resident for the pediatric residency program at UNC Chapel Hill?
Yeah. So to answer the question about what's next in medicine, you know, like I told y'all with med school, I was one of those people who enjoyed everything. And I feel like in residency, I was very much that same person. I enjoyed a lot. There's a lot of things that caught my attention as far as being procedurally based, like being able to do things like chest tubes and intubating a person to help them be able to breathe when they're very sick, all the way down to just the science of how, you know, infections, how they impact the blood, or how the kidneys help function in the body. There's a lot of things that I have interest in, but what I ultimately know for sure is that I enjoy being involved in work that helps provide literature and evidence to help change how we practice pediatrics. And so in order for me to be able to do that, I want to pursue something called academic pediatrics. And so for those who might not be familiar, it's essentially a realm of pediatrics or medicine where there's lots of research and a lot of attention placed into how do we create research and other resources to make sure that pediatrics is evidence-based, right? So we don't just give, you know, children and our patients medicine just because it feels like the right thing. There are research studies and other things that are done to help provide evidence that that is important. And so for me, as a budding academic pediatrician, what I hope to do is help contribute to that conversation and provide more evidence of how issues like health disparities and having a leaky pathway, or what some people say is like a leaky pipeline, as far as having representation within pediatrics from minorities being physicians, how important it is that we have that representation and how we fix those leaks or those areas in the pipeline or the pathway to becoming a doctor. How do we patch those things up? What does the evidence show? How are we doing? And what are some helpful, sustainable interventions that we can create to help sustain and increase the number of Black and Brown doctors coming into pediatrics? So that's kind of where my interests lie currently.
I love it.
Yeah. And then aside from that, as far as becoming chief resident, I'm super excited about that, but I'm also very scared.
Yes.
Y'all, chief resident is a big deal. I still remember when they told me that I was selected, I cried. And what did I do? Right? I cried and I called my mama. Mom, I'm the chief resident. She said, oh, look at my baby. She said, What's a chief resident again? And I'm explaining to her what a chief resident is. But regardless, I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to be a very you know, challenging but exciting time. There's an opportunity to help kind of shape the program and to be one of the faces, if you'll say, if you will, of the program. And I will tell you this, when I came and interviewed at UNC for residency training, of the, I think the 14 or 15 programs that I interviewed at on my residency trail, UNC was the only program that had a Black male chief resident and that was Dr. Christian Lawrence, who is now one of the hospitalists at UNC and one of the associate program directors. And I'll never forget just walking into the room and just seeing him and understanding that he had the role of chief resident, how much of an impact that made on me, because it showed me, just like mentors in general can do, that I can do it too. And then walking into the room and seeing the program director or the boss of the program, you can think of it that way, Dr. Kenya McNeil Trice, seeing her in that position showed me, wow, I can do that too. And so with that, becoming chief resident gives you the ability to kind of help shape a program and also show others what your program is about. And I think one thing that UNC definitely values is diversity and inclusion. They value it. And so I'm excited to help understand more of how we can make sure that diversity is valued here. But even more, I'm excited for like the interview season and being able to host these interviews and really being able to pour into these applicants. And hopefully some of y'all who are listening, meeting you all on the trail and just learning your stories and encouraging you to just keep going. So there's a lot of exciting things and there's some scary things being an attending, you know, taking care as the team lead on a hospital service is exciting, or in the clinic. But it's also scary because it's a lot of responsibility, but had a lot of training to get here. So I think I know a little bit.
Well, it's definitely an exciting time, and kudos to you for your hard work and your efforts. Just for our audience, everybody does not get chosen to be a chief resident. So to get to the point where you were selected to be a chief resident is something to be celebrated, and to celebrate you in general. A part of this podcast is to make sure we celebrate one another and our efforts to make sure that we're not only taking care of the next generation, we're taking care of the patients that we serve and care for so deeply, but we're taking care of each other too. So I just want to make it a point to say thank you for all of your hard work so far. And I'm excited to see what you have coming next. And as you know already, it's always a joy working with you in the clinic and you know, being a resource. So thank you so much for that. And with that being said, we're going to transition into our bolus round. And for those who may not know or haven't heard of this before, a bolus is when we give a patient fluids because they're in an emergent situation. They may be very sick. They may be dehydrated. They may have lost blood from a trauma. So we pack them with fluids or blood. So we give them what is called a bolus. And we do this very quickly. So this is our rapid fire, get to know you round a little bit more. So are you ready for the bolus round?
I don't know. Let's see. I think I'm ready.
Think you're ready. All right. Are you interested in taking a deeper dive with Black Med Connect? Then join our Black Med Connector newsletter. Each week, you'll hear more about our guests and go behind the scenes to get a deeper dive into their careers. You will get the professional productivity word of the week, and you'll get to see and learn more about amazing physicians doing wonderful things in entrepreneurship and innovation. So head on over to bmedconnect.com/podcast and join the Black Med Connector newsletter. Back to the episode. So are you butter in your grits or sugar in your grits?
Oh my gosh, that's not even a question. It's butter. Sugar don't belong in grits.
It doesn't. Thank you. I don't understand why this is a debate.
And a little bit of salt.
Salt Bay, exactly. Are you a warm weather vacation person, or I know the answer that you're from Florida. Are you a warm weather vacation person or a cold weather vacation person?
I'm actually a cold weather. So I'm originally from Florida, but long story short, I kind of moved up to North Carolina because I also like the cold. I'm one of them weird Floridians. I enjoy the cold. I love Colorado. I love Washington State. So
hey, that was a plot twist. There you go. All right. If you had to choose J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, or Drake, who are you choosing?
Kendrick Lamar by far. I mean, Kendrick Lamar is just, he's super skilled, and I just don't know if we have many people that could compare to him, in my opinion. So,
fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, number one NBA player. Are you LeBron, MJ, or Kobe? Or other. I'll put other because I'm a Steph Curry fan, so.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you have to take your hat off to the one and only MJ, right? Do I think LeBron will be the next MJ? No. In my opinion, no one will take over what MJ did. I'm a loyal fan. So currently Steph Curry is definitely my guy, man. I'm all about seeing Steph Curry do his thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, and then last but not least, I'll give you MJ. I like them all. I say they all hold their place in history in the NBA. But last but not least, can you tell us the name of your organization one more time and how people can get in touch with your organization?
Yes. So again, Next Gen Pediatricians. Another way to say it is Next Gen Peds, or for short, NGP. Again, it's an organization that essentially serves to make sure that fourth year medical students, minorities, who are applying into pediatrics, to provide y'all with resources and throughout the interview season and submitting your rank list for residency and providing lots of mentorship. So if you are interested, we have social media platforms. We are on Twitter and Instagram at NextGenPeds. We're also on Facebook. And then if you become interested, we will make sure to provide you with a plug-in to our GroupMe, which are for those individuals who become a part of the program, where there is just live discussion all the time where people ask questions and kind of just get involved with the community of people who are there. So last thing I'll say, if you want to email us directly, if you're not on social media, you can email nextgenpediatricians@gmail.com and we will reach out to you in response.
Awesome, awesome. Well, shout out to Next Gen Pediatrics, NGP. And I did have one more bonus question. I got to ask it. What is your favorite Black-owned restaurant? And you can pick it here in the UNC Chapel Hill or Durham, Raleigh-Durham area, or anywhere you'd like to shout out a Black-owned restaurant.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Because there's a lot of them that I really like. Okay. I'm going to have to go with Bayou Cafe here in Durham, North Carolina. Fire coffee, amazing French toast and chicken wings. It's some pretty good food. A close second, Debbie Lou's. If you guys haven't heard of Debbie Lou's or True Flavors, they're basically the same restaurant. Will blow your mind. Customer service is a little tough, but they know how to cook. They know how to cook, boy. So those would be my top two.
I love it. Well, shout out to those restaurants too, because if you're in the area, you know, if you're coming to UNC Chapel Hill for any reason, which we'd love to have you come on by those restaurants too. So thank you so much, Dr. Williams, for your time. Like I said, we celebrate you and I can't wait to see what you do next. So as I like to say to our audience, always remember to dream without limits, because truly the sky is the limit. So until next time, we'll see you then. Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Med Connect podcast with Dr. Xavier Williams. We are so excited for what he's going to do as an upcoming chief resident in the UNC Chapel Hill Pediatric Residency Program. And if you're interested in learning how to become a pediatrician, don't forget to check out the organization he discussed in this episode, Next Generation Pediatrics. Be sure to follow them on Instagram at NextGenPeds and Google search Next Generation Pediatrics to check out their website. There's a lot of resources available to you if you're interested in pursuing the career as a pediatrician. And never forget, I'm a resource too. Once again, this is Dr. Weiss with the Black Med Connect podcast. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review on any podcast platform that you like to use. Until next time, always remember to dream without limits. Bye.